If you would, take your Bibles and go to the book of Daniel, please. The book of Daniel, chapter number 9. We'll continue in our study through this great book. Last week, we did talk about the messes that we can easily make in our life. The messes we can make and the very fact that Daniel knew that they were in a mess because of the things that they had done, the children of Israel, and disobeying the Lord and His voice. And we're going to continue with somewhat of that thought this morning, but we're going to transition from the mess that man can make to the mercy that God can give. And we're going to talk about God's mercy this morning. What a wonderful attribute of Almighty God. The mercy of God. And we'll see that here very clearly in the Word of God. Let's begin reading in verse number 7. This prayer of Daniel is a mixture of course, confession, which we talked about last week. But it's also a prayer of praise. And we'll talk more in detail about that. But look at verse 7 of Daniel chapter 9. It says here, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces. As at this day do the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither Thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against Thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against Thee. But notice verse 9. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. Let's pray together. Father, I do want to thank You this morning for the wonderful song service that we had, those songs of praise, thanking You for Your blood that was shed on Calvary. Thank You for that marvelous choir number that they did. Oh, Lord, it was for me. I can sing that, Lord, and know that in my heart. And I appreciate that. And Lord, this morning, Father, I'm praying that Christ would be exalted through this message. And Lord, that we would let our eyes and our hearts be fixed upon Your mercy. This wonderful attribute that we must not abuse, neither neglect. Oh God, we look to You now. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Mercy is the title of this morning's message. Mercy, and the definition of it, I've heard it put like this: not getting what we deserve. Not getting what we deserve. You know, it was illustrated to me once on the difference between grace and mercy, and I thought it was pretty clear. And, you know, I think of now with my own children something that I want to try to grow in, and that is mercy. When it comes to the time to discipline, especially, you know, sometimes when you get aggravated, and boy, you have a child that has made the same offense over and over and over, you know, it gets a little bit more difficult to exhibit mercy. But you know what? The Lord is merciful. He shows us mercy every single day of our lives. Those same things that we do over and over and over and over again. Almighty God sees it and knows it. But yet, the Lord is merciful. And we're going to see here in this prayer of Daniel the attribute and character of God in this realm of mercy. That Daniel's going to come to the throne in prayer, actually asking God to show that. He's going to come according to that very fact that God is righteous and He is merciful. You know, it was illustrated, like I said, on when it comes time to discipline children. And I thought about this. You know, imagine little Thomas disobeying Daddy. Now, I know you can't imagine that, but that he does. And he deliberately does something that he should not have done. Perhaps he ate that thing that he is not supposed to eat unless he asked, okay? You know what, kids can get caught up in doing all kinds of things, but let's just say whatever the offense may be. Perhaps he decided to be David and he pretended his sister was Goliath and decided to truly hit her with a stone, okay? That happens, by the way. But you know, something like that where you know he was totally disobedient. And so what mercy would be is me sit little Thomas down, and when he is deserving of a punishment, he's deserving to be punished for that offense, and it would, for Daddy to show mercy would be like, Thomas, what you deserve right now is a spanking. You deserve what you did, what you knew was wrong. You understood the offense to be wrong, but you did it anyway. You've been instructed, it's been clear, but you did it anyway. Now, what you deserve, Thomas, is a spanking. But you know what, Thomas? Daddy's going to have mercy, and I'm not going to do that. I don't want you to do it again. That is exhibiting mercy. What he deserved was that spanking or whatever the disciplinary action would be, whether it be time out or not getting dessert or whatever the case may be, but that was mercy. And then, if we want to go a step further, just for sake of illustration this morning, you want to show forth grace, it would be as if grace is getting what you do not deserve. Sort of go right together, but different. And it would be as if, Thomas, Daddy's not going to give you a spanking. You're not going to get in trouble this time. I'm going to show you forth mercy. And then if I wanted to show forth grace, just for sake of illustration, I would say, now, Thomas, come in here to the kitchen. Daddy's going to give you an ice cream cone. That's grace. That's grace. Thomas, he deserved a spanking. I withheld because of mercy. But not only that, I'm going to show Thomas some grace and I'm going to give him something that he does not deserve. But you know, God does that to us every day. Don't you forget it, friend. God shows forth mercy every day to your life, and He also shows forth grace. Now with those two, we do know that God is righteous. And of course, the Lord's not going to let His children get away with sin. There are always consequences, but in the whole realm of that, God shows forth His mercy and grace, and Daniel knew that. Daniel knew that, boy, we're in a mess, but Lord, I'm going to come to You because, Lord, I know You. I know You're righteous. I know You'll do the right thing, but Lord, I'm also going to come to You because I know You're merciful. I know You'll forgive, Lord. I know You love forgiving, and that's where I'm going to come to You. So number one, I want us to see, first of all, Daniel noticed what we deserve. What we deserve. Daniel was very clear into that in verse 7. He says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee. In other words, you know what Daniel's saying right off the bat? Lord, You're not the one at fault here. You know, we can get in trouble with that sometimes, folks. We get in the blame game. We get in the blame game. When we get into some trouble, we get into some sin, you know what we want to do? We want to start pointing fingers. And sometimes we point the fingers to Almighty God and say, God, this is Your fault. Something like that happened in the garden, didn't it? There's the blame shifting going around. And boy, for long, you know, Eve was throwing the blame. And then, of course, Adam was throwing the blame back to God. Look, it's the wife You have given me. But that's not the case here. Daniel is saying right off, Lord, I know we're in captivity because of what we did. I just want to say, first of all, Lord, You're the righteous one. There's no fault with You. And before you can understand mercy truly, you have to understand that God is righteous. We see here, right off the bat, that he notices that God is righteous. But notice this next term. Interesting phrase here in your Bible. He says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee. But notice this next part. But unto us, confusion of faces. That's a phrase there that refers to shame. He's basically saying, Lord, what belongs to us right now because of what we doing is have done is shame. We're shameful. We're ashamed of what we've done against your voice, against your direction and your commandments, Lord. We're at fault. Hey, can I tell you, that is the first thing. You want to really experience the mercy of God? Hey, listen, and it, again, this is flowing over from last week's message. Folks, we got to get to the place where we're just honest with the Lord. We're just right transparent, letting God see right through every barrier that might be there and realizing that, you know what, Lord, I'm at fault here. And you're right, and I know you have the right way. But he says, Lord, we're shameful. He says, but unto us, he put again, you remember, he put himself with the category of the children of Israel and of how they had a confusion of faces. There was shame. But then he noticed here what we deserve. He also understood the curse that was upon them. Look at verse 11. He says, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing. And they might not, that they may not know thy voice. Therefore, the Bible says, the curse is poured upon us. There it is again. He's including himself with this group of the children of Israel. He's saying in this prayer, Lord, what we got right now is exactly what we deserve. And it's clear to me that Daniel was being very honest here in the get-go. And I'm telling you what, you will embrace mercy that much more when you understand what God has withheld from you, but what you truly deserve. He even goes on to say this evil brought upon us. Look at verses 12, 13, and 14 with me. He says, and he hath confirmed his words. He's a God of his word. He said that there would be judgment if you disobey, and that's exactly what happened. When he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing, get this, upon us a great evil. And that's again the captivity to the Nebuchadnezzar and to the Babylonians. Look at verse 13. That is, is written in the law of Moses. Again, God set it out. It was clear. There was no gray area. All this evil is come upon us. Not because of the law of Moses, but because of the disobedience to the law of Moses. Look at verse 14. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and, get this, brought it upon us. And then look what he says. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth. For we are the ones that obeyed not his voice. I see here in point one, dear church, I hope you understand this morning the fact of mercy. You must first come to the terms of realizing what you deserve. What I deserve. You know, truly, in the realm of the spiritual realm, what I deserve is eternal punishment because of my sin. That's what I deserve. And then there are so many other things that I deserve because of my actions. But God withholds that judgment from me because of His mercy. And I'm afraid this morning that we might have some here with us this morning that you're at a point in your life where you truly have not recognized the mercy of God. You think you really... everything you have is what you deserve. You're content with that. You're okay with that. You hadn't realized that God has withheld His judgment in your life and you were simply walking because of the mercy of God. And perhaps you don't realize that. And this morning I hope you will. But we see here, number one, Daniel realizes what we deserve. God was right. We were wrong. Have you come to that point? Have you come to that point, my dear friend, where you just simply said, you know what, God, you're right. I'm wrong. That's what repentance is, by the way. It's just realizing your pathway is the wrong way and God's pathway is the right way. But we see here what we deserve. But secondly, look what Daniel states. I want us to see what Daniel states, what we declare. What we declare. Now this is the point where we start really seeing God's mercy spoken of from Daniel and the characteristics that follow. excuse me. We see here, number one, what we believe, number one, about God's righteousness. Okay, go back to verse 7 and look where he comes to the Lord in this prayer. He says, Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. And then, of course, we'll see here in just a minute, verse 16, look at there. He says, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness. You know what he's doing, church? Daniel is coming to the Lord upon the righteousness of Almighty God, not because of his own righteousness. See, that's the beautiful thing about mercy. When I come before the throne to obtain mercy, it's because I'm coming before God realizing I have done nothing to deserve to be able to come in His presence. There is nothing that Brinson Jennings has ever done in his life to deserve to come into the presence of Almighty God. There is nothing that Brinson Jennings has ever done in his whole entire life that has merited me or has earned a position of God withholding his judgment. But no, Daniel comes to the Lord saying, Lord, it's not because of me. It surely isn't because of us. But Lord, I'm coming to you because I know you're righteous. And he's got a declaration here. He's seeing the righteousness of Almighty God. But then look with me in verse 9 again. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses. Oh, what a wonderful truth of our God. We see here Daniel recognizes the mercy of Almighty God. Let me read some verses of Scripture to you that deal with the mercy of God. I want us to see in Psalm 86:15, it says this, But Thou, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalm 103:11, For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Oh, listen, my dear friend, God's mercy is plenteous. And I don't care what you've done in your life, it is nothing too much for the mercy of Almighty God. You say, boy, what I've done, I deserve God's wrath. Hey, listen, God knows that, but He's willing to extend His mercy in spite of that. He wants to extend His mercy to you and to me, whatever the case may be. Listen to Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? Listen to this. He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. That's the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says He delights in mercy. What a wonderful blessing to know that this morning, that God delights in mercy. And by the way, God's children, we should try to follow in those steps. Have you had an opportunity to show forth mercy this week? I guarantee if you haven't, you will next week. Mercy. Perhaps a judgment that was deserved. Perhaps a sharp word that was deserved. Perhaps a punishment or some sort, or just a response in that way, but you decided to show forth mercy. Forbearance. Oh, I'm so glad of the mercy of God that He is forbearing. I was telling the young men this morning in the teen class, you know, when God made us before the foundations of the world, according to Ephesians, you know, when He formed us, our DNA, our everything, He created us. He had us all figured out. He had us all put together. We had a purpose even before the foundations of the world. Get this, folks. When He did that, He knew about every single fault. He knew at that very moment of our every single failure. He knew at that moment our every single weakness. Now, I told the boys this morning, if I would have been God, and I'm so glad I wouldn't, and not, but if I would have been God, if I would have knew that creation was going to turn out like that, I think I probably would have moved on to maybe something different.
Well, listen, that's not working out. I see the whole picture. Let's just move on down to maybe the next thing, as the Trinity was there together. But thank God it didn't work out like that. God saw me and He said, look at that Brinson Jennings. I know he can make a mess, and he makes one after another, but I'm creating him anyway because I got a purpose for him, I got a plan for him, and I love him. And that's our God, dear friend. That's your God. And if He's not your God, He can be. By you simply calling out to Him and saying, Lord, I know what I deserve. I know what I've done. I know I'm a sinner, but Lord, I want to cry out to You according to Your mercy. And God will delight in that. And He does according to the Word of God. He's a merciful Savior. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, when the children of Israel were in their mess, and they were rebelling against the prophets. Listen to what Habakkuk says. O Lord, I have heard Thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive Thy work in the midst of the years. Listen to this. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Oh, how we should come to God on the behalf of His mercy. It is there for us to embrace. Oh, to rejoice in. Not only does Daniel notice and declare his righteousness and His mercy, but look, he also, which goes with mercy, he declares His forgiveness there in verse 9. God forgives. I've been speaking with people before, and they would say, Pastor Brinson, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the life that I've lived. You don't know the things I've seen. And I want to tell you something right now. According to the Word of God, God can forgive it. And He will forgive it as it is properly confessed unto Him, because He will extend His mercy and His forgiveness upon that person. You know, I heard of the testimony of Jeffrey Dahmer, serial killer. And there was a testimony of him getting saved in prison. I don't know how accurate that was, as far as I don't know his heart, but what he expressed, there was a chaplain that would go into a prison ministry, and he went and visited this serial killer at one point and started giving him the gospel. And Jeffrey Dahmer got under conviction of the Holy Spirit and realized he needed to be saved. And you say, now, preacher, somebody that has murdered dozens of people, can that person be saved? If you understand the mercy of Almighty God of the Bible, they can. They can. Why? Because you know what? If we all want to get real honest in here this morning, guess what? We're all murderers. You say, now, preacher, you have lost it. You spent too much time out in the sun yesterday. Hey, all of us are guilty of putting the Son of Man, the Son of God, up upon Calvary's cross. That was my sin that put Jesus on that cross. I'm guilty of His blood. It was shed on my behalf. But oh, He did it because of His mercy. Oh, praise be to His holy name. Oh, yes, I'm a murderer, dear friend. But hey, it's nothing too great for the mercy of Almighty God. And backslidden believer, under the sound of my voice, listen, get out of the slumps. Get out of that cave of despair. Exit there and exit out upon the light of God's wonderful and marvelous mercy. And realize that God loves you and He wants to restore you. And He will as we come to Him. Daniel knew this. Daniel knew freedom was coming, and he knew it was coming because of the mercy of Almighty God. But not only do we see forgiveness, but we see His might. Look at His might. Daniel comes to Him and thanks Him because of the mighty God. Look at verse number 15, please. It says here in verse 15, and now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt. Now get this. With a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown, as it as this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. But look at that first portion. Look what Daniel does. He brings to remembrance, and by the way, God remembers all. He doesn't need to be reminded, but get this, He wants us to remind Him of His Word. That's why He gave us His promises, so that we can bring them before the throne and say, Lord God, this is what You said, and I believe it. That's called faith. God will honor that. But look, he brings up the deliverance that He brought to Egypt. This is precious, Brother Ricky. You know what He's saying? Dear God, You delivered Egypt. You brought us out of captivity from slavery. Lord, would You do it again? Would You do it again? He said, Lord, You showed Your mercy and You showed Your forgiveness and You showed Your power. And boy, Pharaoh, he was as stubborn could be. Boy, You sent plagues and You sent all these judgments upon that man, and he was a hardened man. But boy, Lord God, we saw Your might. Our children saw it. And Lord, I'm coming to You right now. We're in captivity to the Babylonians. And Lord, I know You'll do it again. Hey, listen, I believe that about revival in our land of America. I believe that about the ministry of Crooked Creek Baptist Church started July 23rd in 1803. I believe there have been revivals over the past 200 years that have popped up through this ministry. And by the way, I believe God can do it again, because He's a merciful God. And He will withhold judgment, and He will give grace, and He will give revival as we look to Him. And that's what Daniel was saying. God, You did it. Could You do it again? Church, would you do that with me? Would you beg God, saying, Dear Lord, upon Your righteousness and Your mercy, Lord, You've revived our nation in the past. You've revived Jackson County in the past. Lord, would You do it again? Would You do it again, Lord? Oh, God delights to hear those type of prayers. He sees, He looks down upon children praying like that. He's doing, you know, I believe He's saying, that child believes me. That child believes that I can do it. And the Word of God says He's a great rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. They just believe. And Daniel believed in the might of God. Do you believe in the might of God this morning? Hey, listen. God is mighty and powerful. And there's nothing too hard for Him. God can do it. And He'll do it again. And I believe we pray this. So not only do we see a prayer of what we deserve, and not only we see a prayer here of what we declare, but thirdly, in closing this morning, I want us to see in this prayer Daniel stating what we desire. What we desire. What we desire. Look at verse 16 again with me. Verse 16 says this, O Lord, according to all Thy righteousness. Now get this. I beseech Thee. That's a word of desire, folks. Lord, please, we're longing for this answer. We're longing for You to answer in our situation like this. And look what he begins to pray. First of all, he says in his desire, and their desire, he says this, Let Thine anger and Thy fury be turned away from Thy city, Jerusalem, Thy holy mountain. You see what we see here? He says, Let Your anger be turned away. And boy, I'm telling you what, that's a good prayer, is it not, folks? Is that not what we pray when we're praying for America? Lord, would You please have mercy upon America? That's what we're saying. Lord, would You please remove Your anger? We know our nation is turning back to You. It seems like more and more every year. But Lord, please, please, oh God, have mercy upon our nation. And then in our churches, where our churches are becoming filled with more and more lukewarm Christians who just want to play church and who just want to name God and as Savior on Sundays. And the rest of the week they live to themselves. with a lukewarm church where they don't care about souls anymore. They just care about themselves. And that's why we cry out to, when we get in a state like that, we say, "Oh God, please have mercy upon our churches." We don't want to be that way, God. We've all been there. We've all been in those states where we've grown lukewarm or truly cold. But boy, what do? We desire to get revived from the Holy Spirit. And we desire to get see God's work revived. And that's what Daniel's saying here. He's simply saying, "Lord, please don't be angry with us. Don't let it be manifested. Dear God, we need You to move in a mighty way. We know we deserve it." But look what he says here. Secondly, he says, "Let your anger be turned away." But then he goes on to say, "Hear the prayer of thy servant." Look at verse 17. "Hear the prayer of thy servant, Daniel, and his supplications." You know what he's saying here? He's saying, "Lord, please, I got to hear from You. Would You hear me in this prayer?" This is revival praying, folks, at its best. A people that are in captivity. Oh, by the judgment of God. And they're looking to be free upon His precious promises. It says here, "thy servant," in verse 17 and 18. But notice what it says in verse 18. He goes on, it says, "Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations." And then look what he says. Daniel wasn't the only one praying. A lot of times we don't think about that, but there were others that had joined together with Daniel. Look what it says here. "And the city which is called by thy name," get this, "for we do not present," what church? "Our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies." And I'll get to that in a minute. But folks, I want you to understand, Daniel was not this alone. There were others. There were others. There are others that caught the vision that Daniel had and caught on to what he was doing and praying. And dear folks, that's what we got to do. We got to catch on. That God is the God of His Word. The same God of the book of Daniel is the same God of August 20th, 2017. And I believe the same merciful, mighty, all-forgiving God there is the one here. And I believe He's wanting to bring this church a revival. I believe He's wanting to bring this community a revival. If I didn't believe that, I would go and sell insurance for a living. That's what I would do. I would not be a preacher. And it's not against any of those that sell insurance. That's just what my dad did. So hey, I just follow in dad's steps, okay? But the honest truth is, I believe it because I believe the Word of God. And I hope you'll believe with me that the Lord is wanting to do that as we cry out to Him and supplicate. And look what he asked the Lord to do in verse number 17, church. He says, "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications." And get this phrase right here. "And cause thy face to shine," not upon his face, not upon his house, not upon his family, not upon his work. But look what it says, church. He says, "Cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate." You know what the sanctuary was? That was the place of worship. That was the place of sacrifice. That was the place where God's glory was manifested. But it had been lost. In 586 B.C., it was lost. It was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed. It's desolate. And the glory of the Lord that was once there had been taken away. Now, it didn't take away from God's power. That's always existed. But you understand, friend, Daniel is saying, "Dear God, we want Your power back where it belongs." And that's what Daniel is asking. "Dear God, would You please restore Your glory?" Let your face shine upon thy sanctuary, which is now desolate, but Lord, lead us back. And that's a prayer of revival, is it not? Hey, guess what? The Bible says for the believer, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Perhaps your life as a Christian has become desolate. You're not seeing any fruit in your walk with Christ. You're not being effective. You're simply living a life absent of the power of God. And today, what I'm telling you, dear friend, is you simply need to cry out on the behalf of the mercy of Almighty God, saying, Lord, have mercy upon us and upon me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Oh, Lord, let your face shine upon me and thy work, O God. We see a cry to hear to restore that place. And that is my cry. And then we see also here, he says in verse 18, he says, O my God, he says, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and what? Behold our desolations. It was desolate. And look what he says here. And the city which is called by thy name. Again, we do not present our supplications before thee. Get this. For our righteousness. But what, church? For thy... Let's say it together. All right? But for thy great mercies. God's great mercies. That's why we come before Him this morning. That's why we pray to Him and plead with Him. It's not because of what Crooked Creek has done. It's not because of what any pastor has done. It's not because of what any church member has done. We come to God strictly on the behalf of His mercies. His righteousness. Hey, if you come to God thinking you've got one thing to add to God, boy, you've already messed up. We have nothing to offer to Almighty God. Not one thing. It's all Him. If anything happens, it will be because of God. And if He works, it will be because of His mercy and His grace. You notice He said, Lord, not because of our righteousness, but Lord, because of Your great mercies, I believe You're going to bring us up out of these wicked Babylonians and these Medes and Persians eventually. And boy, You're going to get us back to where we belong. And that's what God's wanting to do this morning in somebody's life. I do not doubt it. God's wanting you to get back where you once were. And if that's not your case, God's wanting to get you where you should have been all along now. And that's for you to respond this morning to God's Spirit as He deals with you. And as you hear the prayer of Daniel, let's close with a very positive note in verse 19. He says this in closing. O Lord, verse 19, listen to all these imperatives, if you will, asking God and actually just pleading with God, I should say. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. And He says, defer not. And He says, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Hey, I don't have time to go through it this morning, but I encourage you to do this, dear believer. Go through and underline how many times Daniel gave back reference to doing what God was going to do for the glory of God. For His sake. Not for us, but for His sake. And I believe this with all my heart. This is where the rubber meets the road, if you will. We don't want any kind of good things happening in our life so that we can get the limelight. So that we can get somebody to pat us on our back saying, good job. We don't want any recognition from our community for us. But if we're going to see God move, this is what we're going to do, folks. We're going to do exactly what Daniel did and what he did. What did he do? He said, Lord, whatever you do, do for thy glory. Do for thy name's sake. Lord, this is all about you. This is all about you, dear God, and you getting glory. And I'm afraid, as we saw in the psalmist, that Psalm 115:1 says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. It's all about Him. We're not here to make a name for ourselves, praise God. We're here to make a name for Him. We're here to make a name for Jesus. We want people to be drawn to Him and all His mercy and love and compassion. We want to be people to be drawn to Him because of the judgment to come and what He can deliver them from. I'm telling you what, folks, we're going to make it our main business here at the Creek to make His name everything. His glory. Let's pray. Father, would You help us to do that? Oh God, I pray, please, let us be a church that does not grow desolate. Revive this work, oh God. As Daniel prayed, Lord, we pray. We confess our mess to You. But we know, Lord, with man's mess, oh, glory be, we can see God's mercy. God's mercy. Thank You, oh God, that You are rich in mercy. That You delight in mercy. Holy Spirit of the living God, I ask that You do the convincing work this morning to perhaps some dear lady, some dear man, some dear boy, some dear girl is here and they've never come to You, Lord, realizing their fault, realizing that they need to be saved. Lord, would You draw them this morning to come and get help and to have someone show them from the Bible? Lord, would You do that? And then, Lord, I pray for my dear brethren here, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that know it. Lord, perhaps there's been some lukewarmness that's creeped in. Perhaps they look at their own hearts and they see desolation. Lord, I pray that their prayer this morning would be the same as Daniel's. Lord, cause Thy face to shine upon my heart, upon the sanctuary, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we commit this service to You. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want us to say this. I want to say this very clearly. The Word of God says in 1 Timothy 1:13, Titus 3:5, by works of righteousness which we have done. He says, not by those works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. I tell you, dear friend, if you want to be saved this morning, you can be. You simply come forward and we'll take you, show you in the Bible how you can be saved. But then, I also see where Paul, who said in 1 Timothy 1:13, he says, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But he says this in the next phrase, but I obtained mercy. You too can obtain mercy this morning. You're just going to need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and take the first step. Would you stand with me?